Morning.
Good morning. May it please the court. My name is Michael Langton. I represent Teamsters Local 533. The issue today is whether or not RTC's primary argument that none of the conversations on the bus are private, therefore recording those conversations is not a violation of Nevada law, and posting signs in two languages stating our conversations, or I'm sorry, the passengers' conversations, may be recorded means that there is no surreptitious recordings. Therefore, according to RTC, you do not need to have consent from any of the speakers as required by NRS 200.650.
Well, you've got the collective bargaining provision allowing new use of technology. And to me, I am sort of looking like this is a little bit like body cams on police officers, you know, that I question whether 200.650 prohibits surreptitious recordings, because how can audio recordings be surreptitious in light of RTC's notice to employees of its intent to activate the audio recorders and the signs on the bus alerting passengers to the recording? So I've got all of those concerns, but it's sort of like, okay, all that the recordings are going to have is like the truth of what happened. So, you know, I can understand why maybe you don't really want to hear people having you swear, or maybe you don't, but why are people afraid of the truth?
With all due respect, Your Honor, I don't believe that's the issue. The body cameras that police officers wear, they are actually participating in that conversation. The statute that is issued here has that as a major component. Now, with I'm not sure I put this case in my brief because in
well, but if the employees... If you know that there are going to be audio recorders and the signs on the bus alerting passengers, so how can that really be secret to anyone else?
Okay, there's multiple components to your question, I believe. Number one is under the collective bargaining agreement, there was provision that was negotiated that said if there's, quote, new technology, then the employer has a right and under meet and confer,
How is it new technology if it was already on the bus?
That's exactly one of my points, Your Honor, is that when this was negotiated, this mobile view camera had that component. And at that moment in time when it was negotiated, the employer did not say, and we reserve the right to add audio. Now, video has always been acceptable for numerous reasons, which I don't think are necessary to expand on.
The collective bargaining agreement defines new technology to include present technology.
Well,
that's 4.2.
Yes, yeah, but in my view, they waived that right when they negotiated mobile view into the buses, but did not negotiate and audio. That would have been a major condition for my client, I can pretty well assure you, at that particular point in time. Back to Your Honor's Judge Callahan's position about the employees. There's more than employees on the bus. And when the judge said that based on the plain language of the statute, activating the audio portion of the mobile view on RTC buses does not violate NRS 200.650, as the recording would not be surreptitious because of the signs, or violate the expectations of the privacy of those on the bus. I respectfully disagree. First of all, if you are whispering, which is one of the arguments that I made, you clearly have an expectation of privacy that won't be recorded. But when these audio recordings come on, they don't just capture somebody telling the truth or not telling the truth. The issue is, and that's the case I wanted to cite, is under Summers versus State, 102 Nevada, 195 at 200, a 1986 case. The court in that case referred to another case, and in State v. Bonds, we held that the warrantless electronic recording of communications from a transmitter-type listening device attached to a police informant, that's your body camera in today's parlance, did not constitute the interception of either a wire communication or an oral communication. Consequently, we held the interceptor of such communication need not first secure an order permitting the interception, and then they cite NRS 179440. However, the last sentence of that says, such an interception must, however, satisfy the authorization requirements of NRS 200.650. In other words, when you have a body camera or a CI, confidential informant, wearing a wire, that person is actually participating in the conversation. In this scenario, what is happening is that the somebody is sitting miles and miles away, looking at a monitor and saying and listening to what is being said. They clearly are not participating in the conversation.
Are you suggesting this is new technology or existing technology?
I believe in the year that it was negotiated, it was existing technology. This was not invented.
Existing technology, you've already agreed to its use in the CBA, haven't you?
Under limited circumstances, which I believe I just explained, and that was video, yes.
Just a minute. Weren't you given notice of the new usage of the technology?
Yes, but that...
So if it's existing technology, it's agreed to its use under the CBA, and now you've given notice of the new usage, why is there a violation?
Because it wasn't collectively bargained like it was.
Well, just
when
a minute.
It was
already bargained for.
No.
It was not exist. It was not exist. I mean, you're suggesting it's not new. It's existing. You've suggested that you agreed to that in the CBA, and now you are given notice that they were going to use it. It seems to me that's all the CBA requires.
With all due respect, Your Honor, I forget the exact year that it was negotiated. The technology of audio was part of Mobile View. When the negotiations were held, the union agreed, video, yes, audio, no. The employer never reserved the right to say, oh, by the way, someday in the future, and by the way,
just a minute. I guess I have a tough time understanding that that's the way it is. In the record, it seemed to me that in the record you agreed to have all this technology put in the buses. Well, they didn't say they couldn't put the video in the bus. You said they could put this technology in the bus. Then the CBA was not violated at that time. You got a chance to argue about it. Then you were given a notice of its usage that you'd already agreed was in the technology. I'm having a tough time.
Well, let me parse it, if I may. When the negotiations were held, the audio existed. The employer, by the way, is MV Transportation, not RTC.
All right, okay.
Okay, and that's an important factor, I believe, here. Did not reserve the right and did not say, we will put in audio in the buses. And that was existing technology that was not negotiated for.
But just a minute. If they didn't say that they weren't putting audio in the buses, then why is not this implementation of the audio equipment not new technology?
It is not new technology.
Well, but just a minute, why isn't it? You say, first of all, that it is existing, and yet you say you didn't agree to it. So tell me why it isn't new.
New means that it would have been invented after the negotiations.
Well, but just a minute, if it's a technology that's in the bus, but you don't agree to it, but now they say we're going to implement it, why isn't it new?
Because it existed at the time the negotiations occurred.
Well, but
it
just,
was not invented
afterwards. You can't
have
it both ways.
Well, they can't have it both ways either.
All I'm trying to do is say what way you're going to have it. It's either existing technology or it isn't.
It existed at point A, and they had the right to say, we're going to implement everything at that moment in time. Having waived that provision.
But my worry.
Well, so would it be like if you did it, do it that day, then you waived it if you do it on the second day, or it's like.
If you've signed the CBA, of course. But if new technology, and by the way, there was no evidence taken in this particular case. There was a few affidavits, but no evidence whatsoever that the new technology would have been invented. We didn't used to have electric cars. We used to have only gasoline cars. That is maybe a weird example, but new means after the fact created, not otherwise.
Okay.
Okay. So when the judge said also that the lack of privacy by individuals, I'm on page 7 of her decision.
So are you basing your privacy argument on the bus riders as opposed to your clients, the bus drivers?
Both.
Both?
Both, yes.
And I don't know that this was in the briefs, but does the union have standing to raise issues on behalf of bus riders?
I don't believe that was in the briefs, Your Honor. Yeah. I believe that's correct. But
I just don't know. But I mean, I know that I've seen lawsuits involving, in Los Angeles anyway, bus riders associations who sued them. But I'm just curious.
Go ahead. You don't represent the bus riders.
Pardon me?
You don't represent the bus riders.
I do not. I do not. But the conversations that my clients are involved with involve passengers. And my client has refused to consent to the recording of it. I don't know what the other passengers do, but my clients have been disciplined, in fact, fired since the implementation of this. And that brings me back to the CBA provisions of negotiating discipline. When you're going to use an item for discipline of an employee and you haven't negotiated some of the standards in the past, bringing up existing technology that existed then and saying, oh, now we're going to use it, in my view, requires mandatory subject to bargaining under the National Labor Relations Act, which is exactly why, when it was filed in state court, I moved it to federal court.
Of what importance is the decision by the NLRB to that argument?
I don't think it has any importance.
Why?
I think it's a non sequitur. We didn't appeal. It was a ULP that we filed that said.
But just because you didn't appeal, that says that it should be used against you. Why is it that it has no importance in this decision? It says this is not a violation.
Well, with all due respect, I do believe that a regional decision out of 32 is not going to be persuasive on this court. I think that federal law requires that the NLRB be involved in it. And yes, it was, but I just don't believe that that's a good argument on their
behalf. Any good case that says what you don't believe?
I would have to do research, Your Honor.
There is no good case. That's why I ask you the question.
But I don't think it becomes res judicata. We could turn around and
I'm
file.
I'm not talking about res judicata. I'm talking about the influence on me. When the NLRB has spoken to the exact question, you didn't appeal it. I don't have to say res judicata, but it can give some influence in what I'm thinking about that.
Well,
and I look for a case that doesn't say one way or the other. And nothing says that I can't give at least some influence onto my decision. So that's why I was asking you.
Well, in my view, and I want to reserve the rest of my time if I may, that is not dispositive of this case because this case turns on NRS 200.650.
Just one question. Is it your position that the statute, the Nevada statute, the 200.650, is it unambiguous?
I believe it is clear.
You believe it's on a, okay.
Yes.
Okay.
All right, thank you. You have a little over a minute for a rebuttal. Good morning.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm W. Chris Wicker of Woodburn & Wedge in Reno, representing the Regional Transportation Commission of Washoe County. One important point I think needs to be made here is that Regional Transportation Commission, or we call the RTC, is the owner of the subject buses. It's the owner of the mobile cam view. It made a managerial decision through its board to implement the audio of the mobile view system.
But I think what they're arguing is that RTC had the technology to activate the audio recordings when the collective bargaining agreement was agreed to, why wasn't the decision not to activate the audio recorders at the time a binding decision requiring bargaining if RTC changed its mind?
Well, I would have a couple of points on that, Your Honor. One, the collective bargaining agreement is very expansive on the technology that MV Transportation and RTC are allowed to use. The union would like to focus on the new technology aspect, which I think covers this situation. But also in 4.2, technology rights, the company may employ new technology, including video systems and other present or future technologies for the transit industry in order to ensure the safety of the driver and passengers. And so it's not just new technology, although I think this is a new technology for this application, but all present and future technologies. And there was information presented at the board meeting that approved the activation of the audio, that audio recording is in common use in transit systems across the country. So,
but your opposition says this isn't new at all. It was already installed.
Yes.
And therefore, it's existing. He says that he didn't agree under the CBA then to its use. Even though it was existing and it was in the buses, he did never agree to its use, and that it wasn't enough to give notice that you were going to start using it, that you had to renegotiate. What's your answer to that?
My answer is that the collective bargaining agreement is extremely expansive in the technology that is allowed to be used under the bargaining agreement, and it's not simply just new technology, but under 4.1F, the company is allowed to introduce new and improved technology, machines, et cetera. Under 4.2, they're entitled to use not only new technology, but technology, present or future technologies that are used in the transit industry. So the intent of the collective bargaining agreement was very expansive to use these technologies. And so the RTC, as the owner of the buses, when they implement the audio recording, it's not a subject of mandatory bargaining with the union for several reasons. One.
Well, let me ask before you get to that. Did you ever meet and confer with the union with respect to the activation of the audio recording?
NV Transportation did so, and that was found by the investigation by the NLRB decision that they did meet and confer, and the union disagreed, but they did meet and confer.
Is that, in your view, sufficient to satisfy the requirements under the collective bargaining agreement?
Absolutely, Your Honor, because the as was shown by the actions taken by the union in pursuing the NLRB complaint, they were not foreclosed from pursuing any remedies they might have under the collective bargaining agreement. However, this was not a subject that required mandatory bargaining. The NLRB happened to find that they waived the right to bargain that, and that's in our briefs, too.
Well, if it was existing, let's just assume if it was existing, it did have the capacity to do audio at the time, right?
That's correct.
It just, so if you knew it was there and it was existing, are you essentially, is it your argument that you have, that you bargained with the understanding that it could be turned on at some point? Or, because I'm hearing the appellant argue that, which I don't know why you would agree to having things on there and not expect that they would be turned on, but.
Well, I think one point, Your Honor, is that the RTC did not bargain with the union. We own the buses, we own the mobile cam. We tell MV Transportation what we want them to do. So MV Transportation entered into the collective bargaining agreement with the union, and in doing so, they have this extremely expansive suite of technologies that they're allowed to use. And so the fact that you have an existing system, whether you want to call it a new technology because it's new to this situation, or you want to call it a present technology, the union has agreed to all of that. They just don't like the idea of the microphones being turned on. And I think it's important for the privacy issue. Well, actually, I don't think it's important to the privacy issue, but it's an important fact that the microphone only picks up sounds at the fare box and where the driver is. So it's not secret microphones throughout the bus. It's only the interaction at the fare box with the bus drivers, and apparently that's what they don't like, is because it does pick up the truth of what occurs, and that's why RTC...
But, so, can RTC record any conversations that take place on the bus, or only those in the vicinity of the driver?
I think that they could record conversations if it's done openly and not surreptitiously, because I don't think that conversations on a public bus are private conversations. It's not like in Gooch or in Katz where you have an enclosed telephone booth or you have a tent or a house. It's a public bus, and people sit next to each other and talk, and I don't think there's any reasonable expectation of privacy on a public bus.
We really don't have to get to privacy, do we? Whether it's a private conversation or not, we only have to function about or focus in on surreptitious.
You're absolutely right, Your Honor, because the union focuses on this consent provision. Well, the consent provision only applies first if it's surreptitious, which, you know, how can it be surreptitious to the drivers if they're provided notice of it, and as to the passengers if they're provided notices on the buses?
Well, not only that, but as I understand the facts, there are even that it is that the audio video surveillance in the public system is disclosed on posted signs at the front of the buses?
That's absolutely right, Your Honor, in English and Spanish. And there's a whole other camera and audio system, the drive cam, that records audio and video from cameras at the front of the bus. The mobile view has several cameras around the bus and just the audio recording at the front of the bus. And the reason the RTC wanted the activation was to resolve disputes about what occurred in that area. And so they made the managerial decision.
So you would use that, though, for discipline purposes, right?
Well,
potentially?
RTC yeah. would not, but MV Transportation or, potentially could.
Okay.
And they have a scheme in the collective bargaining agreement that on how to use recordings. And the union gets a chance to see them, and they go through their whole
process.
But
that makes it a mandatory subject of bargaining, and I think I understand you saying that it's not a mandatory subject, the activation.
Yes, Your Honor, and I would say three reasons why I don't think it's a mandatory subject of bargaining. One is that it's already covered in the collective bargaining agreement that these systems are allowed to be used and what they do with recordings. Number two, if you assume that specifically audio was not included in that expansive list, there's a 16.1 waiver provision that if subjects were covered but not specifically mentioned, then they waive the right to mandatorily bargain it. And thirdly, I would say it's not a mandatory subject of bargaining because this is the RTC making a managerial decision that for their purposes of customer service, for their purposes, they want the audio turned on to improve customer service. And there's contractual relationships with MV that MV is subject to what we want them to do. This came up for declaratory relief because of the assertions made by the union that turning on the audio would be a criminal violation and also a violation of the CBA. And so that's how it came to be a request for declaratory relief. But I don't think activating the audio would be a subject to mandatory bargaining in these circumstances. Now, there are cases I'm aware of with the NLRB where secret surveillance cameras, there's, I think, four or five NLRB cases where secret surveillance cameras that were not disclosed to the employees were mandatory subjects of bargaining. But I didn't come across any case where an open surveillance, such as an audio or video, maintained by an owner and even an employer, I haven't seen any cases where found that these were mandatory subjects of bargaining. And the district court below found that they were not mandatory subjects of bargaining because you have the recording of the truth of what occurs at the fare box, and then the mandatory subjects of bargaining were what do you do with that and how do you handle that, and that is covered in the collective bargaining agreement. The last point I'd like to make is the whole reason that the RTC, and this is reflected in the record, the whole reason the RTC brought this declaratory relief was the threat of criminal action, and RTC thought it was prudent to get declaratory relief on the issue of NRS 200.650 before activating the audio. And we got that declaratory relief from the district court. And I think the statute, we agree with the argument that you look at the plain language of the statute, and that looking at the plain language of the statute, you have a surreptitious requirement, you have the privacy requirement, and only if you have a surreptitious recording of a private conversation do you ever get to the requirement of consent. And as is typical in Nevada law, there's no relevant cases that are interpreting that statute to provide any more guidance, although...
So if I find for you, as it relates to the Nevada statute, is that the only issue I have to answer?
Well, yes and no. Yes, in the sense that that's what concerned us the most.
I understand that, but do we right now have another issue, really? Is that issue only the consent? Is that the only reason it's before us, is it has to do with the consent?
Because the union is asserting that consent kind of stands alone as its own mark when you're doing a recording.
That's why I ask you, can I decide this issue merely by saying the Nevada law does not apply?
Yes. And we added to our request for declaratory relief the claims under the collective bargaining agreement. But I think that that if you decide that what the RTC did does not violate Nevada statutes, the RTC is happy because the NLRB in their action has also determined that activation of the audio was not a mandatory subject of bargaining and therefore foreclosed. Now, we would like you to determine that activation of the audio as a matter of declaratory judgment and uphold the district court does not violate the collective bargaining agreement because that
that's why I ask you that. Is that really an issue I have to get to here? I didn't see that as an issue. I got that only as the consent issue as to whether consent has been given, that if the law does not apply, we're done.
You know, I think it could be resolved in that manner.
We don't issue advisory opinions, is what he's asking you. Would that merely be advisory at that point?
No, I think because the district court had made the determination under Section 301 of the Labor Management Relations Act that the proposed activation of the audio did not violate the collective bargaining agreement or was not a subject of mandatory bargaining, under your Ninth Circuit cases, you don't have to be a party to the collective bargaining agreement to seek declaratory relief that either an enforcement or non-enforcement of the collective bargaining agreement. And so I think it would be helpful to all the parties to have a final resolution from this court, even just affirming what the district court did in regards to the collective bargaining agreement. But our main concern was the Nevada statute, 200-650. If there's no further questions.
None.
Do not appear to be. Thank you.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Thank you, Your Honors. One of the ironies here, I believe, would address your Judge Smith's question, is that RTC is a public entity not covered by the National Labor Relations Act. I recently filed a ULP against them, and it was dismissed based on the fact that they are not subject to the NLRB. When we filed the ULP against MV, that's when they said that it wasn't mandatory subject of bargaining, because MV was the one that was involved, and that's why, with all due respect, Your Honor, I don't think it applies. Now, in this particular case, Mr. Wicker said that this is improved technology. Nothing was ever improved. It was the exact same technology, the audio. Now, the drive cam issue is something that was negotiated years ago, and when it has audio and video, it's activated either by the driver or by an incident such as slamming on your brakes, and it records 10 seconds before and 10 seconds after. And everybody knows that it's on there, and that's the safety issue, that's the legitimate issue. So if the driver is involved with a beef with a passenger, he or she can push the button, and therefore that is then recorded. Under the agreement that we've talked about, Your Honor.
All right, you've moved into overtime. Unless any of the panel has questions, I'm going to call time on you. No additional questions. Thank you
for your arguments.
Thank you both for your argument. This matter will stand submitted. The last matter on calendar today for argument is Christopher Corcoran et al. Versus CVS Health Corps and CVS Pharmacy, Inc., case number 17-16996.